some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
And because this is Rated LGBT Radio Night, your co-host, Rob Watson. Welcome
to
the show. Yay!
Well, you know, I haven't gotten back to my producer's studio to do the new intro for the show, and he keeps saying, yeah, things are crazy, but I keep going, we need to get Rob's name on the intro, and we need to switch it up and say the right, it's Rated LGBT Radio, because it's Thursday, but we haven't done that yet. So my apologies to Rob, and my apologies to everybody, but it really is Rated LGBT. We're celebrating all flavors of the rainbow tonight.
Yes. We're over the rainbow.
Over the rainbow.
Under the rainbow, pot of gold.
Can you believe the show we have tonight?
I can't. I'm very excited. I have more questions than I'm probably allowed to ask tonight.
I will show restraint, and I'm going to let you ask as many questions as we have time for tonight. We have two guests. You know, one of the things I was talking to Rob and I, we really don't talk a lot in between the shows each week. So today we had a bunch of things going on, and I said, I need to give him a call so I don't like sideswipe him before the show starts. And I called him up and I said, we've got Michael Hennessy on the show. And he goes, I know. And I said, but you know, we have so many things with Michael Hennessy that we want to talk about. We only get to talk about maybe 0.5% of the things that we want to ask him. And Rob goes, oh. And I said, it's only an hour show. And then I said, on top of that, we have the amazing, incomparable, beautiful, talented, funny, spectacular Sheena Metal, who is BFFs with Mr. Michael Hennessy, and she's a local radio legend here in Los Angeles. And she says, well, I want to call him to the show too. And I said, okay, my head is spinning. It may explode at any moment, but we're going to figure out how to make this happen. And Rob's like, right on. And so that's kind of where we're at tonight, folks. We're going to be talking to two guests. We're going to have Michael Hennessy in the first half hour, take a quick commercial break at 7:30, and then we're going to come back with Miss Sheena Metal for the second half of the show. Your show log does indicate that we're probably going to do some tarot card readings with Reverend Rob in the second half of the show. I will tell you, we probably are not going to get to that just because of our special guests that we have tonight. So if you're thinking about calling in for a tarot reading, I'd probably save your call for next week. Just, you know, I want to have you pace yourselves here, folks, because, you know, there's always enough to go around. If, however, you're looking for a free call into the show for a psychic reading, next Tuesday, Lisa Peeney, with a special showtime of 4 p.m., will be back on Rated G Radio for her first appearance in January, and she'll be taking your calls. The phone lines do open up at 15 minutes prior to the live broadcast. So if you want to call in next week, please do so, and we'll take more of your calls then. But in the meantime, Rob, should we – I think I've got Michael here ready to come on board. I didn't screen the call ahead of time, so if you're in the Los Angeles area and called into the show and this is not Michael, forgive me, but I'm going to unmute your line. So – I'm going to say, welcome to the show, Mr. Michael Hennessy. Michael, is this you?
Hello, is this Joe's Pizza?
It is.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm so excited you're here.
Oh, yeah, me too. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Great. Nice to meet you.
Very nice meeting you, too. Now, because you have so many cool things going on, I'm kind of been muzzled here in terms of asking you about your children's theater and mystery work and all that stuff, which I'm really fascinated in. So I'm not going to mention that at all.
You mean you're not going to mention Mysteries by Mike.com? Okay.
I can't. I'm not allowed.
we just don't have it in the budget to mention Mysteries by Mike.com. We don't have it in the budget to mention
We're
Dino
not going to mention Mysteries by Mike.com. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to mention Mysteries by
Mike. We could talk about miracles because you said you needed a miracle to have me and Sheena on within the same hour. So, you know, we all create miracles. So we can create that miracle.
There we go.
We really needed that miracle during Powerball weekend, just to let you know. A little late, but we'll take what we can.
Yeah, you know, it's always a luck of the draw. You know, I love my partner. He asked people on Facebook to give him the numbers, and he played the numbers that people gave him on Facebook. It was very, very cute. He's like, okay, what am I going to play? And people were throwing out numbers for him. And I think he won like $4. So he did
good
win.
Good for him.
You know, he's a winner.
He is a winner if he's with you. So there you go.
Go on. Tell me more about
that. Well, okay, so I told Rob before the show, I said one of the things that I really want to talk about, mainly because I just experienced this with you in the last week, is you have an amazing Reiki energy healing practice in Los Angeles. And I thought, you know, since this show is categorized in the spirituality category, and anybody who's tuning in live tonight, they're going to say, you know, how is this spiritual talking about LGBT? Well, it's LGBT, so there you go. But I thought I wanted to talk about you and what your spiritual path has been that led you up to where you're at today. And for everybody who's hearing your name and hearing your voice for the first time tonight, Michael, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and, you know, where you come from and how did you get to where you are today?
Absolutely. Well, my full name is actually Michael Sean Hennessy, and I go by Miracle Mike and Mystery Mike. And I am originally from Boston, and I moved out here in 1993, March of 93, after I was given 9 years to live in 1990. I was diagnosed with HIV and AIDS, and I worked on the stock market at the time, and they basically said, you have 7 to 9 years to live. So I figured if I was going to die, I might as well die on stage. So I had one friend out here, and I made plans to come out to a place that was sunny because I was living in Boston and in 3 feet of snow. So I'd been to LA once just through the airport, and I just figured, you know, it would be a great place for me to come. And I had some children's projects that I wanted to bring out here as well. And so I made my way out here, and I got into Reiki because I was studying with Dee Wallace. She's my mentor. She's been my mentor for over two decades now, the mom from E.T. And she had all of her students go to a Reiki master named Ruth Kramer, who's amazing. And I was very hesitant because of my born-again Christian background, and I didn't want to go, but I did, and I was just, whatever. And then the second time I went, I was open, and it completely changed my life forever. And I felt the power of it. I was open to it, and I allowed it just to start working in my life. And it brought some spectacular healing, and it opened up channels that I didn't know even existed. And I decided to start studying it 3 years ago. I became Reiki level two, and I'm hoping to go through level three this year. And I just,
Michael,
I love it because it's so simple.
Yeah, for those who don't know, what can you describe what Reiki is? And
sure. Yep, Reiki is it's a Japanese term for universal energy, and it's very simply put, all I'm doing is when I lay my hands on someone, I'm taking my energy and I'm running it through their energy channels as well. So it's basically me sending love into another person's body through their chakra system, because we each have seven main chakras. There's many like energy centers. There's many of them outside of that, but there's seven main ones that we focus on during Reiki, and it's very, very powerful when you're open to it. I've seen lives change on my right in front of my eyes on the table.
So how do you know when you get to a new level? I mean, it's how is that measured?
Well, as a Reiki practitioner or as a person experiencing Reiki?
Either one.
I love that. Thank you. well, like for me, for going on to level three, it's been a couple of years since I've done level two, and I feel like it's time to know more. The last level is becoming a master. And I don't know when I'm going to do that, but I definitely want to look more into it. And the way that people experience it, like I had this one client a few weeks ago who there was something wrong in the throat chakra, which is right in your throat. It's your fifth chakra, and it was clogged. It was very clogged. Like I tried to like do some work on it. It was just all over the place. So I opened it up, I cleaned it out, I put light in there a few times because it was just a mess. It was a total mess. And then he got back to me a week later and he said, I communicated with my partner for the first time in 2 years because of the opening up of the throat chakra. He had been holding back stuff and not expressing himself. And now he's like moving in a beautiful direction with his partner. And I was so happy to hear that, because that's what you want to do. People get stuck because each chakra represents a different thing. There's the heart chakra is right in the center of the heart, where the heart is. And that basically is the anchor for the other six chakras. So you have your first chakra is your root. The second is the sacral. And then the solar plexus is right behind the belly button. And those are all earth-related. They're related to being stable, making money, reproducing, whether it's children or projects. And your creativity is in the third chakra. And a lot of people I deal with, especially in Hollywood, their third chakras are just all over the place. And then they're wondering, well, how come I'm not making things happen? It's because your chakra is literally like it's just staticky, and it's supposed to just move in a clockwise. It's just supposed to move clockwise, just in a steady pace clockwise. And most people's are just, they're all over the place, and they're not where they're supposed to be. They have to be realigned and recentered, and that's what the Reiki does. And I thought it was like voodoo and witchcraft before, you know, being a born-again Christian and also a minister as well. And I just, I saw differently once I was really open to it, that it's just a natural state of being. We all have the energy within us, and it's just, it's fun to move it around and to see people have changes in their life once they've gone through it.
So from your born-again Christian standpoint and going into this new discipline, do you look at like Christ's work in the Bible a little bit differently? I mean, wasn't that a lot of what he actually was doing?
Yes, fortunately, I can do that because of my amazing Reiki master, Ruth, because when she does a session, she brings in Jesus. She calls on Jesus to come in. She calls on the archangels. So I do that as well. I call because Jesus is still he's my BFF. He has been my whole life and will always be my best friend. I love Jesus with my entire heart. And so it's really great to bring him in to the healing process, because that's what he's all about. He's all about helping people have breakthroughs, whether it's physical, mental, spiritually, creatively. You know, we all have blocks in our lives, you know, and it's nice to just start knocking them down and know how to do it.
Right. How is Reiki related to massage, or are they administered together, not together, totally different things?
No, it's kind of, with the Reiki, it's like sometimes it's like the energy says to like just work out some kinks. Like a lot of people, as you know, I mean, a lot of people have shoulder issues and lower back issues because that's where they carry all their stress. So like I will incorporate some very simple techniques to just get rid of the knots that are there, because it's just, I'm just like, you know, people just walking around hunched over and like all crunched up with their, it's like, no. Posture. You know, Garrett has the best posture I've ever seen on anybody. He has beautiful posture. He walks into a room and he's just, he owns it.
Your check's in the mail here. Your check's in the mail, Michael.
You know, but you do. You have one, and a lot of people just, they hunch over and they're all crunched up with their shoulders and their neck, and there's so many, and they're just carrying everything up there. It's like, let it go. It's just not, it's not worth it. It's not worth it in your life to carry all that around. We're here in life to have a wonderful life and to live in our bliss and to live in our joy and to bless others as we go along. We're not here to be stressed out. We're not here to be sick. We're not here to be, you know, we're not here to have any of that. We're here to have an extraordinary life. So make it extraordinary.
Hey, Michael, real quick, Rob, I just wanted to let you know that we got a bunch of people that are pinging in. I've got Tony in Hackensack, New Jersey, who's listening in, and he says, I didn't know about Reiki. This is very interesting. So we may have some questions that we'll have from the...
Hi, Tony. I'm looking at his beautiful face right now. I love
it. There we
go.
Yeah, Tony's the best. So I just wanted to throw that out there and give the shout outs to some of the folks who are listening tonight. Thank you very much for doing that. But I will, you know, one of the things, I've never had a Reiki session before, and I went and was just completely transformed last week. And I think at one point I said, you know, Michael, I think my body's like floating off the table, you know, figuratively,
yep.
you know, but I had such an air to my energy, and I could feel throughout my entire body such a charge, and it was exhilarating. At the same time, it was a little weird, to be quite honest, but I've left that feeling just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is an extraordinary experience. The first time that I let it go, which was actually in 2005, I'll never forget it. I have it down, written down, April 14th, 2005. And when I left, I felt like I was like 20,000 feet tall. And I felt like I could literally like reach out my hand and like touch the moon. I mean, I just felt so big. I felt so, I mean, I really released a lot. I mean, in that session, it, because I was so open, there was a lot of releasing, a lot of crying, because I was holding on. I had a couple of people that really did me wrong, and they kind of screwed me over financially, and I had to let it go, because I was carrying it around. And what I've learned as a Christian and as a Reiki practitioner, forgiveness plays a huge part in your healing. Because, like, if you don't forgive someone, you're literally carrying them around with you, like, all the time. So depending on how heavy they are, you're either carrying around an extra 140 pounds or 200 pounds on your back all the time. If you're not forgiving, you know, and it just weighs you down. So it's just, like, just let it go.
Tony's followed up with it. Go ahead, Rob.
So, I was going to say, what is the most extraordinary experience you've had with somebody that you've been working on where you physically saw them transform and kind of really connected with, wow, this is important work?
Yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful client who had, he had a heart attack. He had cardiac arrest, and he was basically bedridden for like 4 months. He wasn't doing anything. He had no energy for doing anything. And we did a session, and it was, you could see him, like, he, like, got on the table really slow. He was just exhausted. And you could see him, like, literally almost spring off the table like a trampoline. And then his partner, his girlfriend, was just, like, he was just full of energy. And he was in his late 50s. He was running around. He was doing it. He was a whole different person. He was acting like he was 20 years younger. And he came in and did another session like a few weeks later to follow up, and it even helped even more. And now they like travel all over the world together, and it made a huge impact on his life. And I loved seeing that. You could see it in his face, you could see it in his eyes, and you could see it in his demeanor and his energy. It was just really, really beautiful. And I love seeing that and just having that experience and just thinking, you know, because I'm just a vessel. And I always tell people that. And Garrett, and you, I know you experience this too, is that we're literally just vessels here. And I'm just opening up my vessel, and I'm letting my energy come in and do whatever it needs to do. And so my energy talks to your energy, and they have a little chat. It's like, oh, did you hear what Garrett said to Rob? Oh, no way. Oh, no, did he? You know, and it's a really amazing, amazing experience. And then the energy just does its work, because we have like 500 trillion cells in our body, and the energy just wants everything to be in order. It wants us to be healthy, be energized, and just, you know, not to be exhausted all the time, you know?
So Tony's asked a follow-up question here. I guess he's making his first question of the night. So Tony, this one's for you, because you said, please ask this if you can. What do people, what should they expect when they come to see you? And I guess I'm setting this up. Tony's back in New Jersey, so he's not coming out anytime
sure.
soon for a Reiki thing. But by the way, everybody who's listening to the show tonight, if you're watching the show, on all of the ads that are going through, you're going to see Michael's ad for service in the advertising tonight. So there's his phone number and also the website. So if you want to schedule an appointment to go in and see him January or February, call and make that appointment. He's got a great deal for listeners here of the show, and he'll make it available to you. But for people who are coming in to see you for the first time and have never experienced this, because I walked in just completely, you know, I was like, well, whatever he says to do, that's what we're going to do. You could have said, stand on your hair and put, you know, pour maple syrup all over yourself and have the ants eat you. You know, I would have said, okay, because this is what Michael said. But what should people expect when they come in to see you from an experience standpoint?
Well, what I always tell people is to come in with three intentions, like what they would like to see, like, improved in their life, like, whether it's a creative block or work or relationships or health-wise, what is it that they would like to gain from their from this experience? And we come in and I have sage, I do some sage, and I clear the room before people get there, and also when they're there, I clear the energy. People lay down on their back and I actually check in with them. I have a pendulum. I do the pendulum work. It's just a very simple energetic thing, and it responds to people's chakras, and it shows me if the chakras are moving properly or if they're out of alignment, not of balance. And then what I do is I basically open up the chakras, I clean them out, I put in beautiful light into each of the chakras, and I close them back up, and then there's like 13 to 17 different Reiki positions where I put my hands and I put energy in those positions, and the energy goes into the different chakras, and people will generally feel heat, and they'll see colors. Some people have visions, they see things, and I let people know just whatever you need to do. If you're going to laugh, you laugh. If you cry, you cry. Whatever you want to experience, just let it happen. And I usually spend anywhere from 1 minute to 3 minutes in each position, usually the spirit will tell me to go. And like with that one client, I had to spend a lot of time in his throat chakra because it was, woo-wee, it was really like just tight, and it was probably the worst throat chakra. It was like a 4:05 at 5 o'clock on a Friday. You know, it was pretty.
That's ugly.
Up. Yeah, and you know, and I do some distance healing, like smaller sessions, and I do ascended MasterCard readings as well for people. So if people, you know, they're more than welcome. I've done distance healing with friends in New Hampshire before and in Boston, and they've definitely felt an improvement. So people are more than welcome to contact me for that.
Yeah. If you do something like that, Michael, do you do that over telephone or over Skype? How do you have a preference?
Both. I could do both. I have Skype, and I have you know, the phone as well. Yeah. Yeah. And they can contact me through they can contact me through Facebook, Miracle Mike, or, you know, my website on my phone number. It's all good. Yeah. Yeah. It's
and
a very powerful thing.
How long does a session generally last?
Generally almost an hour. I like to spend 10 minutes before, though, like talking about what's going on. I mean, Garrett and I chatted for a while, so we had
our chatterbox.
But usually I sit down with people before and we talk about what's going on with them, and I'll make some specific notes. And usually I ask people to bring in their intentions, and I put their intentions under the table, so we can funnel energy through that as well. And this is what I say about the Reiki, because I really was adamant about not touching it and being near it. And this is what I say to people about it. I say, if you want it to work, it will. If you don't want it to work, it won't. So it's all how people come into the process. And Garrett, I think you and I had a little conversation about this the other day. Is like, if someone believes in like a paperclip, or if they believe in Jesus, it's not the paperclip or Jesus that gets them to the next place, but it's the faith that they have in the paperclip.
Exactly. Yep.
Or in Jesus. It has nothing to do with the person or the object or the idol or whatever it is, but it's the belief that you have that something is, if you believe you can be healed, you can be healed. I mean, because I, and that's, and we didn't even talk about that. That's how I actually, why I pursued becoming a Reiki practitioner, because I did overcome, I overcame AIDS back in 2011. So, and I know that that was related to the Reiki work I was doing, because I had full blown AIDS for almost 15 years. And I was dying like every 6 or 7 months. And so I continued with the Reiki work, and I saw the difference it made, and I just started focusing on the healing instead of on being sick. And then the healing happened. And I'm very, very happy about that. And I just said, you know what? I got to start giving back more, putting it out there.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I have a very off-the-wall question for you. Very
off-the-wall questions.
I'm going to preface this by, I've had experiences, and I don't know that the people have been Reiki per se, but they've incorporated at least Reiki principles in a massage type of environment. Mm-hmm. And in a couple of these instances, it became almost otherworldly, in that the one session I had with a guy, I kept getting this, as he was working on me, I kept getting, his name's Michael. And I knew his name wasn't Michael. And after we got through, this was so pronounced that I had to ask him, I said, who is Michael? And he got this very weird look on his face. And he said, Michael is the angel that I channel when I'm working on you.
Yeah. Nice. Yes.
And you know, yes. There have been a couple other that, I mean, I could go on with those, but have you had anything like that, that was been more almost like channeling another spirit with you doing this?
I definitely feel like Saint Germain, the violet flame. I felt him, and I've seen like the purple lights. I do see lights sometimes when I'm working with people. I'll see some blue light, and I'll see some purple light. Usually around like the crown chakra and the third eye chakra. So yeah, I mean, I definitely do see that. I always just bring in all the angels, and I also bring in Jesus, and I call on anyone that's connected to the people that are on the table, because you can when I was doing my training with Ruth, we did have someone on the table, and there was like one of their uncles was there, one of their aunts was there. I mean, it was like they were there to help them have this amazing experience. And to let them know that everything was going to be great.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's all there. We just have to be open to it. It's just the veil's very thin between us and them. So it's a wonderful place to be when you're on that precipice and you're open to it and willing to see it with miracle eyes.
Michael, that's going to lead us to the end of our time. We've got about 2 minutes left before I'm going to kick you to the curb, because I've got your buddy Sheena coming on. But this is, and like I told Rob before we even did the show, I said, we have so much to talk to Michael about. He's going to have to be like a monthly caller or a regular
Absolutely.
Guest whenever you have the time, because we have so much more that we both want to ask you about your career and life and everything that you do, your gingerbread Christmas party, and so much more. So before I let you go, can you remind people one more time where to find you, where to fan you on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, what number to call to schedule that Reiki appointment, and
Absolutely.
Any last words of wisdom? Okay.
Absolutely. Just IamMiracleMike.com is my website. That's also my Instagram. It is my Twitter as well, IamMiracleMike. And they can find me under Miracle Mike on Facebook as well, and Miracle Mike Reiki Practitioner. And the phone number is 323-654-6453. And, yeah, the last words of wisdom is that for me, the personal healing just comes, the quote I have on my Facebook is, whatever you say you are, you are. So if you say you're joyful, you'll be joyful. If you say you're broke, you're going to be broke. If you say you're sick, you're going to be sick. We have that wonderful power within us, and we always have to trust our gut. Our gut tells us yay or nay. So if anyone has a question, they can go within themselves and ask their spirit, what is the right thing for me to do? And their gut will always tell them, don't go there, don't go that way, or go that way.
There we go. It's Mr. Miracle Mike here on Rated LGBT Radio. We're going to take a quick
commercial
break.
Thank you guys so much.
And, Michael, I can't wait to say thank you in person and give you a big hug. So appreciate you being here. We'll be back in just a minute or two with some Sheena Metal and more LGBT news with your host, Rob Watson, and myself. We'll be right back. Thanks, Michael.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of The Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Okay, so we've technically got a little bit of time right before Sheena's going to give us a call in. So I wanted to let everybody know that one of the shows that I love to listen to that's on 2 days a week on two separate networks. I don't even know how this is even humanly possible, but it is. But Mr. Scott Fullerton hosts a fun show on the UBN network with Mr. Tony Sweet. It's called Left of Straight. It's Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then he also hosts a two-hour show on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 Pacific Time right here on Blog Talk Radio, Left of Straight, STR, and then the numeral 8, Left of Straight. And you can check out Scott's show. He hosts entertainment folks. He's a big foodie. He's a big Broadway person and has all kinds of interesting people on his program. And so if you get a chance to go listen to Scott's show, either on the UBN network or on Blog Talk, I highly encourage you to do that. Support another fellow LGBT program of the week. So, Scott, thanks for tuning in tonight. Hope things are going well for you there. So, Rob, before we bring Sheena on in another minute or two, what is going on in your world?
In my world or LGBT world? You know, before we do that, I want to make one comment about Michael, though, why tying it into LGBT radio is that so many LGBT people feel ostracized from the religion they grew up with. I mean, he mentioned being a born-again Christian. And so many people feel, and not even feel, they have been given an exit ticket out the door when they come out. And I think it's really important for people like Michael to be out there for people who, I mean, we don't quit having a spiritual life because we're LGBT. And I think it's really healthy for people to connect with, people like Michael and his kind of business to get in touch with that whole spiritual side of themselves that isn't tied to dogma, isn't tied to homophobia, that gives them some freedom to really explore and be themselves fully. So I just want to kind of tie that in a little bit.
Well, and I think we could actually do a whole episode. We could do a whole series, but I think we should have him back, and we'll do an entire hour with him and talk about maybe some of your mutual experiences. Because you are an ordained minister. You marry you can marry anybody, but you married LGBT couples, and you are doing a lot of fantastic work throughout the community. So I think that'd be kind of fun to talk about, because again, like you say, a lot of folks out there think because you're LGBT, screw you, you're going to hell because it's a Tuesday and you ate the cheese sandwich or something silly like that. And that's really not the case. But Our next guest is coming onto the show for the first time, and she is somebody who I have admired a very long time and who really sets a tone for what an amazing radio show truly is meant to be. This is a lady who not only is a brilliant radio host, she is a writer, she's a producer, she's an actor, she's a singer, and she does so much more. It is my pleasure and honor to welcome for the very first time, welcome to Rated LGBT Radio, Miss Sheena Metal. Sheena, how are you?
Hi, my friends. How are you?
We're good.
So excited that you're here.
I'm so excited to be here, and I am actually hiding out in the Market Broiler in Huntington Beach, having a big bowl of chowder, so I talk to you two sexy boys.
Woo! We love talking to you. So, Sheena, this is the first time that we get to have you on the show. I told Rob I will probably want to monopolize the conversation, but I gave him enough of a soundbite about how fantastic you were, and I think he's going to shove me out of the way. So, Rob, do you want to do the honors and ask the first official question of our guest?
The honors of shoving? Shove. Yes, you're shoved. No, Sheena, I was just fascinated with your, you know, I mean, you're so eclectic with so much going on, but I was absolutely fascinated by your guest list on your radio show and all the paranormal investigators that you have on, which just, that is one of my real fascination areas.
You know, I grew up in a haunted house, and so I always say the paranormal community chose me, and I started watching a lot of those shows just to figure out, you know, what was wrong with me that I lived in this creepy house, and never thinking in a million years the community would sort of pull me in because of it. But they're wonderful, and they did. And I'm excited to say that I've been a part of the community for a little less than 10 years now. Boy, it sure is a lot of nice people. So as the show started, I started inviting people on my show. And then one day my boss at LA Talk Radio said, you know, do you want a show that's just for paranormal? Because I think at that time, like, you know, 3 to 5 of my days for my daily show, one at least, like, what 3 slots a week were paranormal? And I think he was maybe looking for me to, you know, change it up a bit. So I started Haunted Playground in 2010, which was just not just a year after I started my daily show there. And I love it. I host Paracons, and I paranormal investigate, and I clean houses, and I carry a liter of a bottle of Pepsi One that my friend filled up with holy water into the trunk of my car right now, along with some divining rods and a little tiny Bible. And, yeah, I, so there you go. Well, see, you're the minister, and I have the holy water. So just that alone is the beginning of a great friendship.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I'm probably, like, one of the worst ghost hunters ever because I'm too eager. Because I walk around and I'm just, you know, it's like, I almost like, I dare you. I want you to come out. I want to see you. I want to, you know, and, you know, I'm like a kid who squeezes a puppy too hard. They just run from me. They don't show up.
No, it's a lot of sitting and waiting. It's a lot of being patient.
I just experienced one in the last 2 weeks, which is probably why it's so fascinating to me right this minute. I just moved my folks out of place, and because they're failing, and I needed to move them to some place they could get care. But one night I had to go down and sleep on their couch, and I already had a sense that there was, you know, something in that apartment. I've had several experiences on that. But while I was laying there in the middle of the night, all of a sudden I got this huge sense of this really sweet perfume. And it lasts for like 2 minutes, and then it completely disappeared. And I sniffed all around to see if, you know, I had rolled on something or whatever, but it was gone. And then in the morning when my dad got up, he got up too early, and I sent him back to bed. And as soon as I sent him back to bed, then I got that scent again. And again, it lasted for like 2 minutes, and then it was gone. And I just, I'm so aware of that spirit that is in their home.
And isn't that interesting that it waits till your dad went to bed? So whatever it is, it's not attached to him or trying to only connect through him as many spirits do. Fascinating.
Yeah, I actually think it's attached to me because I moved them in there and they have this sliding glass door. And how I knew it was there was I was going through that door to put things in the backyard. And as I went out, every time I went through there, something had been moved right smack in the middle of that doorway.
Wow.
And it happened like 3 times. And I was like, okay, stop it. You're not going to scare me, but stop it. And I walked around these boxes and some peacock feathers that had been up on top of a bookcase, when I walked around the corner there, were now laid out on the ground in this perfect fan formation.
Wow.
Rob, you're freaking me out.
Now, Rob, why do you think the spirit's attached to you?
I, I think because I was the one that moved them in, and I'm then the kind of the manager of the whole thing. And I don't think she was, I think she wanted me to know that it was her place.
Okay, sure. Maybe you have a little bit of a sensitivity that attracts her.
Potentially, but she's very playful because we had lots of problems with things, and she is attached to my dad too, because she will grab things off him and hide them. We had several incidents. Now he's got dementia, so it's very easy to think that, you know, I mean, he definitely was losing things, but like for example his wallet was missing at one point. We searched the whole house looking for his wallet, couldn't find it. Finally, I walked into the living room, which we had looked in a dozen times, and there it was sitting right smack in the middle of the coffee table. And it was like, that was not there, because we would have, you know, it wasn't something like, oh, we missed seeing it. It was, that was not there. So, it's that type thing. That, yeah.
You need to come be a guest on my paranormal show. I'd love it.
That, but, hey.
Well, I will totally do it. But you're twisting my arm. Okay,
fine.
I know.
You always want to come and do my show. I thought I should invite you, because then you wouldn't stop me and sit in the lobby and stalk me. But,
Well, let's talk about your show for just a second. I, for years, have just admired you so much for the radio work and, well, everything that you do in the entertainment community. But you have this fantastic, well-respected, highly rated radio show on LA Talk Radio that airs five nights a week. Tell us about your show.
Yep. It's called the Sheena Metal Experience. I like to joke that it's human sideshow. It's anything that's interesting about humans. But because we're in Los Angeles, it's a lot of entertainment. And because I love the paranormal, it's a lot of that. Because I love to read, it's a lot of authors. Because I love psychology, it's a lot of stuff like that. But lots of things that are going on in L.A. because I love this city so much. The whole Los Angeles metro area. I've lived for 35 years now and love it so much. And so it's a daily show. So you have to kind of mix it up, and it has to be a little bit of everything. That's sort of what a daily show is about.
And then when you started this, did you have any idea that it was going to take off and become this phenomenon that it has become?
Well, it's interesting because I spent 3.5 years at an AM station called KIEV, and then I spent almost a little over 7 years at KLSX, which was at the time Howard Stern in the morning and Tom Weisick in the afternoon at CBS Viacom FM Talk. And towards the middle of that time, I started getting courted by people that wanted me to cut demos for them for an idea for a show. And I did one for Clear Channel, and I did one for Westwood One, which is the syndicator for CBS Viacom. And I did it, and I had this great idea for this show called The Sheena Metal Experience. And I cut these three demos, and everybody hated it. Everybody said it's too heartfelt, it's too passionate, it's too intellectual. Nobody cares what people think, and this will never go anywhere. Because my job as a talk host at CBS was, you know, somebody calls in, tells me their problem, I make a joke, hang up, and go to the next one. I was a shock jock. And I think that's whatever. And I thought I was really being shocking, and I was doing a show that was actually much edgier than I even wanted to do. And they were still like, oh, my God, too much, too much, too much. So then I did another one, and I thought I had really toned this thing down. And I thought I had people called in, and I did two different topics in an hour. And I thought, this is amazing. They're going to be like, this is fantastic. This is the vanilla of radio. And they were like, oh, my God, too much, too much. So I've worked my whole life in the music business. That's how I got started. And so I said, sure, I'm going to do a music show. And I did Music Highway. Started that in 2004 as I was leaving CBS, which is now at LA Talk Radio. And I syndicated it. We did it in my friend's recording studio. And I cut it together myself. And I syndicated all over the country. And, you know, I thought, oh, God, I have to. I'm so worried about too much, too much. And we syndicated all over the world and as far away as Australia. Millions and millions of listeners when you combine the syndication of all the stations. And then I lost my L.A. affiliate, and I really wanted to have one. And a friend of mine who was a musician said, you know, this new station called LA Talk Radio. And I called the owner, and he said, oh, because I was looking for a new LA affiliate, and he said, oh, come in, I want to give you a tour. So I went in to meet him, and he said, wait a minute, are you Sheena from KLSX? Which had, by then, that station had gone down and become kind of a DJ station, like, you know, one of those, the format where there's no actual host and it's just music all the time, like it's called Amp Radio, sort of like a house
sure.
music version of Jack FM.
Yeah.
And so I said, yeah, and he said, I'm just starting a new channel here. We need somebody to flagship it. We want to do a daily show. And so I said, yes, and that's how it started. And then I said, but I have a music show, and I want to bring it here, too. And he said, okay. So that was the beginning of my time at LA Talk. So my music show just now turned 11, and my daily show just turned 7. We're going to celebrate Sunday at the Hollywood Improv. And my paranormal show will be 6 in February. And I also do a two-girl politics show with my best friend, Susan Olson. And that will be 6-5 in the summer. So it'll be 5 in June.
Well, let's talk about your show coming up this Sunday, the Hollywood Improv, because
you do
these amazing sold-out shows where everybody who's anybody come and hang out to see you interview folks. I was very lucky to see you in December, or I guess it was November. I lose track of the time because everything is
November.
Important for me. And you had amazing people that were there, and you've got another event coming up this Sunday, the 24th. What's happening this Sunday?
I do 4 a year, so I do the anniversary of my show every year. I do my birthday in April, and then I do my a radio host anniversary in August, and then we do a holiday party in the fall. And I pick out some great celebrities that have done my show before that I feel comfortable with on stage. And instead of doing an hour per guest, which is what I do in studio, we do 15-minute interviews. And they come up on stage, and we do an interview that's fun and edgy and very participatory with the audience. So the audience are my listeners and friends. The guests are my listeners and friends. We do a big red carpet before. And, Garrett, you shoot our photos because you're a total rock star.
Oh, bless you.
And we usually have a couple photographers, and everybody's welcome on the red carpet. It's not only special people, because that's completely ridiculous, and I'll have none of that. And there's celebrities on stage, and there's celebrities in the audience, but there's celebrities sitting at long tables, you know, eating right next to somebody who's maybe never seen a celebrity before. So it's very mixed up. There's not a special seating for celebrities, or because, again, I'll have none of that either.
So just between us, can you spill the secret? What is the key to a really great interview?
You have to be completely open and completely locked into your guest. And your goal as you interview has to be, how can I make my guest seem more fantastic? And you totally take yourself out of the picture. And that really is the key. Because as you're working to make them great, they're feeling that energetically, so they're working harder to make it great too. And then it becomes something better that either one of you could have done on your own.
I'm taking
easy,
notes.
And Rob's writing down ghost questions he wants to ask me when he does on a playground.
Exactly. Well, you know, and Sheena, I will tell you, and I don't know if I shared this with you before, Rob actually hosts a great show on Saturday nights called Out in Santa Cruz. It's on KSCO 1080 AM, and it's an LGBT show that he and his co-host Steph have hosted for, you know, a million years, and it is one of the funnest experiences I've had doing any type of press. And I just am thrilled to have Rob here being my co-host, and then we get to talk to you, you know, like the local legend. And
oh my God! Seriously,
my
stop.
Friend. So, but I'm serious. You know, you don't even know when I got to meet you for the first time in person this last March at the Child of the 70s with Mr. Michael Vaccaro, and at the screening for the season 3 premiere, I went, I'm meeting Sheena Mel today, and I just about peed my pants. So the fact that I'm having you here tonight is it's not lost. Let me just tell you that.
Wow. He's telling the truth, Sheena. He ever since he knew you were coming on tonight, I had to know. It's like, you know, oh my God, this is Sheena's coming on. Stop the presses.
Little on the left side.
Do I seem like the kind of person that you do that? You know, I'm just like a regular person. Just,
I know, but you know, it's still the persona of Sheena Metal is just—it's larger than life. So yeah. You've been involved this year with lots of projects behind the cameras and in front of the cameras. You've got some really cool things that are happening this year. What can you share with us right now that the world is dying to know about your career?
Well. I just joined an improv group, 321 on Fire. I've never done improv before. They asked me to sit in with them. I didn't tell them I've never done it until the night of the show because I was scared I'd get canned. And they asked me to join the troupe, so now I do that. They're also doing a play called Factor Fiction that was at the Hollywood Fringe and is hopefully going to New York in the summer. And I've taken over a role in that starting a week from tomorrow. Both the improv show and the play are once a month. So it's wonderful. You can stay in it, and it doesn't kill your schedule with a 4 shows a week kind of thing. So that's new. And I'm doing another play with some friends on Theater Row in February or March. And then in the spring, I'm doing a feature that my friend Sarah Ming is directing, and we're going to Ohio to film on location. It's an LGBT love story. And I'm not involved in the love story part, so no one gets scared. I won't take my clothes off. And I know. So only Garrett's upset. And I'm writing a web series that I'm hoping to go into production with next fall or maybe this time next year. That's kind of really my heart project, and a lot of my wonderful friends that I adore will be in it. And I was going to do that this year, but my mom's been ill, and I decided – when you have sickness in the family, that's not the time to engage in production dates. Things people can't move. And so we're going to do that next year. And I do 15 hours a week at LA Talk Radio, which is amazing. A Child of the 70s Season 4 will be out in the spring. It's my third year on the show. And I do the improv 4 times a year. I broadcast from there, and I MC some comedy shows for them. I'm an artistic director for Ensemble Studio Theater LA. This is my second year and my fourth year on their board of directors. So I get to do a little bit of everything I love, and I get to really love it. And I go out on auditions. I have a callback for a TV show next week, and I don't do a lot of that because I'm so busy. I basically do the if you want me, just send me an email and just let me know until I can say yes. And I'm starting a new comedy duo with a friend of mine, and that I'm writing my first book for the spiritual paranormal world, and launching a spiritual website that I'm hoping is going to be up this year. And I've got a little bit as a spiritual counselor, and I certainly like to do more of that. And I go on paranormal investigations and help friends out when they're worried about things in their home. And I have wonderful candles that my friend Scott Travis, who owns CB2 Candle, I have 2 signature candles. One's called On the Beach, and it smells like my beautiful hometown of Huntington Beach, California. And the other is called Lovely, and it smells like me. And we're gonna launch a new one maybe for my birthday in April. I'm really excited about that. He's also gonna do a line of spiritual candles for my spiritual site when we launch that. So. Except for that, I started disappointed. I don't have a whole lot going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just completely bored by your lack of activity. Scott, with Left and Straight, wants to know where in Ohio you're going to film your movie.
Outside of Cleveland.
Okay.
So we're going to film originally in Montana, and then the production company got investors that are based around Ohio, so the crew is there, so we're going to do it there. And I also, every year, direct the Vagina Monologues with 100 actresses that have been on the show. For Protect.org, which was my friend Allison Armbrum. You know her as Nasty Nelly from Little House of the Prairie. She's their celebrity spokesperson, and it's a charity that helps change the rules on the books about child molestation and child abuse. So we do that every year, and also for Even Through V-Day. They're another one of our beneficiaries. And I work for the Harvey Milk Foundation, so that's kind of my charity thing.
Wow. So, Sheena, with all this enormous rainbow of things that is you, I'm going to ask you the really impossible question. What is your future dream project that is the one that will happen that you will go, this is it. I'm going to be pure ecstasy through the whole thing. It's what I've always dreamed to do, and it is.
So I'm hoping it'll be my web series. I started with an independent TV series when I was 23, and that's where Sheena came from, and the name and the whole thing. And at the time, it was on cable, local cable, because that was the web series of the day. And I wrote it. I at one point had 75 actors rotating through it, and it was a huge family, and I absolutely loved every moment of it. So to be back on a set that way, I love it with Child of the 70s, but it will be fun to do it with something that I've written. And it's really my heart project. I'm not really talking yet about what it's about or what it's called, but it combines all of the things that I love, and that's the 70s, child actors, radio, and the idea of what makes a family, the idea of an alternate family.
Near and dear to my heart, I'll tell you.
We're at a point where we need to kind of... Well, Rob, go ahead, but we're going to kind of have to wind down the show because we've got 4 minutes left and counting.
Yeah, no, I write as a gay dad and how my family came together with adopting my kids through foster care. And, you know, so the definition of what's a family in the traditional sense, you know, is a big thing I write about all the time. So, yeah.
And I think it's so important. My mother was adopted, so... She had two families, and neither one were close. My father, who was not my birth father, didn't like his family. I'm a donor baby, so my paternity is a giant question mark. And so it's all those elements. And then growing up with a lot of my good friends now, being people that were child actors when I was a kid, I've also learned that set families become families. You know, when Susan talks about the Brady Bunch, she'll talk about, you know, my Brady brother or my Brady sister. And she really considers that to be another family. And I think that's a wonderful, fascinating thing that you don't know about unless you grew up on TV. So, you know, family comes from everywhere.
Right.
Isn't that a nice thing to have?
Agreed.
Sheena, I can't wait to have you back. And I know I'm going to see you in just a tiny little bit tonight. So
yeah.
I'm going to give you a big hug when I see you. So thank you for coming on. And we'll catch up a little bit later. So I'm going to say adieu to you for the moment. And Rob, as we get ready to wrap up the show here, what do you have planned for the rest of your week? I know that you've got a lot on your plate.
Well, we've got a great show coming up on out in Santa Cruz on Saturday. My friend Brody Leveresque, who... he's a field reporter. He was a major driver behind LGBTQ Nation, and been a field reporter for years. Really knows everybody in politics, in the Capitol or whatnot. He wrote an article this week for the new civil rights movement called "Is It Time to Be Intolerant?" And he went off on the kind of soft peddling that a lot of us have done towards people who are anti-gay and, you know, the religious freedom dialogue and all of that sort of stuff. And he is saying, no, it is not okay for people to discriminate. We don't have to tolerate it. We need to say no and not try to look for both sides of the equation and all that sort of stuff. So we're going to have a hard hitting conversation with him this Saturday night.
Well, I can't wait to tune into that. Everybody who's just listening, if you want to go listen to Rob's show and you're not in Santa Cruz and you don't have an AM radio in that, you know, geography area here, just go to outinsantacruz.com and you can listen to the show live. That's how I tune in, and really the show is quite fantastic. And it's one of those shows that you listen to once and, you know, you'll say, I could stay home on a Saturday night for this and not feel bad about it. You'll be highly entertained. So, Rob, it's been a pleasure. I love your new microphone. I swear I'm going to go out and buy one on Amazon. Thank you for sending me the link for that. You sound dreamy this week. I'm so glad that you are here with me tonight. I hope everybody else who's around the country, I'm getting pinged by people who are going to be part of that nor'easter. I am sorry that you're going to have 2 feet of snow, and it will be 65 degrees and sunny here in Southern California. I will send warm vibes your way. Rob, any last closing thoughts? You got about 30 seconds left.
I just want to thank our guests. It's fascinating to me, both of them intrigued in many ways and mind blowing.
You need to go see, if you're in the LA area, seriously though, I'm not kidding you, you will freak out at how great you will feel after your visit with Michael Hennessy. So call him up, get your appointment set, thank me later, and it will change your life for the better, I absolutely promise you. Don't forget tomorrow night on the Friday Night Dance Party, live at 7 o'clock in hour number one, it's Kelly's Lot. They have been a blues band that's traveled around the world for years and years and years. They're absolutely fantastic. Kelly Zerbis has been on the show several times in the past, but we're going to be talking about their album Plain and Simple Me. We're going to be talking about Kelly's fundraising for Hep C awareness and animals and all that good stuff. We're out of time. Got to go. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.